So first of
Amen.
all, as to you, Celia, thank you for joining me. How are
Thank you
you
for
doing?
having me.
All right, I have you on this platform called The Break Room. And the reason why I call it The Break Room is because I feel like sometimes you just stop, pump the brakes, and reassess where we're at in life and where we're going. And you just mentioned off air that, don't mind your boyfriend laughing in the background.
He's so loud.
I can imagine. Okay, I've noticed in the past few weeks that love is in the air.
Love's in the air. Love found me. I
Okay.
wasn't trying to breathe it in, but it
I know.
found me.
I remember your words. And you were like, yeah.
Nothing. Get away from me.
Without divulging too much personal information, what's up?
We were friends. Our friendship was like so pure and so real. And then it kind of just it was just like the obvious next step. And like it was obvious to him, obvious to me, and he made the first move, and here we are.
Salute to him for making the first move. So
Yeah.
it's natural. It was natural. It just came
It
by.
was very natural.
Awesome. Awesome.
I wasn't expecting it at all, at all.
Neither was I, just because I remember you were like over dudes. Like you were just like.
I'm just done. I was just done. I was tired. I'm a brat. I'm a princess, and I'm gonna be a brat and a princess forever. And if you don't get in line, then it is what it is. Just get out of my way.
And with that being said, so when I saw that love was in the air for you like a few weeks ago, I was like, oh snap. I said, okay. And you just
Yep.
there those cheeks of yours were just glowing. They were just stretched out. I'm like, oh
Yeah, he's
snap.
dope. He's dope. I like him a lot.
And Matt, any man that can pull you has to be a quality because you're quality.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate
I
that.
value you. I think you're a beautiful, intelligent woman.
Thank you.
I feel you are very charismatic, very
Thank you.
charismatic. I find you to be a gentle soul, but with fun,
Oh.
with spunk. Like you also have a spice to you that I rock with. I rock with you.
I
So
want peace. I want love at all times. I
I can
promise.
tell you, I can tell you're a hippie too. So I salute your mate on catching you because
Thank you.
you're a great catch. So interesting, love in the air. Interesting.
Trying to
Okay.
get like you, Mike. You happy? You got the whole
Oh
picture.
man.
I'm trying to get like that.
Hey man, listen, it took a lot of fucking work. Matter of fact, May 11th last weekend was Mother's Day, but it also was our 13th year anniversary of dating.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right. So let me tell you a quick story of how it happened. Back
Yeah, tell me, tell me.
in 2011, I was outside. I was
Outside.
outside. I was outside. I was outside, but I wasn't a heathen. I wasn't a demon.
Okay.
I wasn't un tigre.
Okay.
But I was outside. I was enjoying my bachelorhood.
And you should,
When I met my wife, I met her in like June is 2011. I met her in June. We had our first date in August, and then we were like playing around talking for like up until like May of 2012. And then I want to say, thinking of Knicks, thinking of basketball, I'm at Hooters on 34th Street, and I'm talking to my future wife. We're talking on the text. I'm with my boys, and I recognize that she, even though we're talking, she had just had an ex of hers in her vicinity, hanging out. And I guess my mortality, not like actual life or death, but my relationship mortality kicked in. Like, oh, I need to look in the mirror and see, am I taking it seriously or not? And then either make a move or not. And at that time I was living with not to my boys. I had three other roommates. It was me, my boy, and two other women. So it was like a mini real world, like a reality show, mini real world. And
Got you.
two bathrooms, four people, wilding out. And we were partying and stuff. But in that midst of that, hanging out and being a bachelor with roommates, I would have friends over, girls over, et cetera. But
Right.
I started to realize that winter, before May, that, oh, there's certain women in my life that I don't really care for no more. So slowly I was realizing it. But the real driving force home of it was that day at Hooters when I'm texting her. I'm like, I gotta make sure I work on not just my time, but her time. And I gotta be
It's a
aware. I
compromise.
gotta compromise. And I gotta be aware of her mortality. That's a bad word to use. This is another word I should be using. But her.
Mortality, but like
There's
I
a
don't know
word
how
for
to
it.
say, like
There's
her status.
her
It's just,
status, something
yeah,
like
like
that. Her
her,
journey.
her situation.
Her journey. So it was either make a move or realize that, you know, recognize that she is her own human being who was making moves too. So that was like May 10th. The next day, May 11th, I reached out to her and I said, yo, we should make this official. And the rest is history, because that May 11th was when we started dating. December 31st, that same year, we got married.
Yeah, you don't waste no time.
No, I guess not.
Gotta lock it down.
I wouldn't suggest that.
Okay.
I wouldn't suggest that. I would also say, in hindsight, it's important to know your partner. There's no time limit on quote-unquote love. There's no time limit on being on having a partnership. You know what I'm saying? If it feels right, you should move on it. But you do need to vet some things in general about a partner. That's Charlie. That's my daughter, Charlie.
Hi, cutie.
That's Charlie. It's my twin.
She is adorable. God bless her.
Thank you. She's attached. She's on the spectrum.
Let's go.
Yeah. She's on the spectrum. But she's awesome. She's very lovable. She's very attached to me. That's my partner in crime. She's good people.
She is adorable, man.
That's why she's on me now.
Bless her. I get it. Man, let me be nice. I'm joking. I'm joking.
He did.
But it's funny now because he's dead. So it's funny now. Don't worry about it.
You know what? And I wanted to get into your background in general because you have a unique background.
Yeah.
It's normal to you, but as someone not from the Bronx originally,
right?
You know, in fact, before I was living in the Bronx, I was in Harlem with my peoples.
I love Harlem.
And you know, I grew up with, like, I have a cousin who's Dominican. I have a cousin who's Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. I have Latin folks in my family, mm-hmm. but I was dominated, and I even have like Trinidadian and Indian cousins. But I was mostly culturally, whether it's family or neighborhood, surrounded by a lot of Haitians. Right? You know what I'm saying? So on one hand, I find myself eclectic, but on the other hand, I do know dominantly one culture or mostly one culture. So you know, moving to the Bronx and having a wife who's from Dykeman, and having
let's go.
Yeah, so you already know. Ya tu sabe. So that Platano power. So there's a lot more I had to learn about Dominican culture in the last 13 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, just a cultural mixture where my wife's family, some of them, were funny style about me marrying into the family.
Tell me about it.
So I want to ask you, as someone with a unique background where your mom or both your parents are Haitian origin, but grew up in DR. Is that how it was?
Yeah. So my mom's parents, so my mother's mother is half Portuguese, half Haitian.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mother's father is Haitian. My grandpa was a Haitian man through and through. Sapase, Nabule, all that.
That's right.
Let it be. That's all my Creole.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Don't worry. We'll speed you up.
Yes, please. Because my grandma and my grandma talk in Creole just to, like, spite us. Because we can't understand them. So they can have a whole conversation. And it's crazy.
Does your mom know?
Yes, my mom understands it. She can't speak it as well. But if a person who is speaking Creole to her is telling her something, she can completely understand her.
Okay.
And yeah. Awesome. My great-grandmother's Haitian. On my dad's side, I'm not too sure, but he has to be Haitian because I'm dark as hell. So I'm assuming that he has Haitian roots in there. Hey, cutie! And so yeah, then my mom and dad got together and here I am. They grew up in DR. My mom was raised in DR, so her background is Haitian, but they grew up in DR.
Right. She grew up in DR, so interesting. Okay. Now, as a strong chocolate woman like you are, with that unique background, can I ask you, what was it like for you growing up in your household first, with this unique background, and also outside in the Bronx? I want to start with the household, because you mentioned that your father was out the house.
So my mom has four kids. It's five of us because my dad had a daughter before he met my mom. So it's in the house, though, it was four of us. It's three boys and me. It was great. Yeah, I'm the only girl in the house. Only girl and the last baby. So spoiled brat is an understatement. It's very much an understatement. But not so much anymore because I'm an adult. But growing up, it was bad. This is why I didn't work with guys. Because I'm like, what are you talking about? I always get what I want. Get out of my face. Get the hell out of my face.
I can see that.
So then, it was the four of us and my mom. And my mom worked her ass off and got her associate's degree. And I've always known my mom to be a hard worker. So if I hate working, but if I have to work, I do it well. I do it well because I know how to. I've watched someone do it my whole life.
No doubt.
It's me and my brothers, and, you know, as we got older, everyone kind of trickled off and lived in their own life. I grew up with boys, so I'm a little tomboyish, but I'm still a girl. I love my home. The food was great. I was never hungry. We didn't have a lot of money, but I was never hungry, and I was never, you know, stinky and not new clothes and stuff. Never. But we weren't the richest family on the block. But it was great. My dad wasn't there, but now that I'm older, my therapist might say contrary, but now that I'm older, I'm good. He was, thanks for your contribution, but we're good on this side.
Sperm donor, basically.
For sure. 1,000%.
Shout out to you for even acknowledging therapy. I think that's very important to do so.
Yeah.
Mental health is very important. I want to say, your generation, because you're what? You're 97, 96? What are you? 98?
I was born in 1992.
19 what?
92.
Okay, 1992. Sorry, for some reason, Siri started talking to me. I don't know. Oh, there you go. So 1998.
1992.
Oh, okay. So you're old.
Not too much, Mike.
No, because you listen to Evelyn. She's a baby.
Yeah, she is a baby, but my baby.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. Me and Ev get along with the age gap and everything. We're like two peas in a pod.
Oh, for me, I'm 85, so I'm still.
I'm
still a grown one, which means an old head. Incredible.
My brothers are in the 80s. I have a brother in the 80s and a brother in the beginning of the 90s and a brother late 70s.
So probably were somewhere groomed to know something from, like...
Yeah, for sure. Time. I know Tribe Called Quest. I can't rap it to you, but I know the songs when it come on.
Okay, you're with it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with it.
I think, for me, there's a cutoff point where, like, once you're born after, like, 95, 96, then you're young.
For my tribe.
You're really young. You know what it is?
You remember those years. So you're like, that's when you were born? Like, I remember doing such and such or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, when Evelyn told me she was born in 98, I was like, I was 13 years old. I could have babysat her for money. I could have legit. Christ. It's like, this is crazy. You know, you look at her, she's a beautiful young lady as you
yeah,
are.
Yeah,
and
I'm like,
yo, you are a baby to me.
She is a baby. She's 1,000%. I'm going to babysat you.
Yeah, I got to babysat you. Some cheese. So you know, I know, but even though you're young, no wonder you're so mature. Because you are, okay, you're early 90s. Okay, so may I ask you, you say your dad left. Do you have memories of him?
I do. Like, he died of throat cancer when...
My condolences.
I don't even remember what age I was, but I was older already. And he tried to, like, come back into my life and, like, wanted to be friends. And I was like, yeah, I don't need friends. I needed a dad. So, like, if that's what you're here for, we're done. Like, we don't need to talk anymore. And my brothers were all like, you're so fucked up, and how could you do that? Oh, can I curse?
By all means, yes. By all means.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You're all, you know, you fucked up. You should hear him out. We should hang out with him. We should go out with him. I said, I don't need to go out with this man. Like, I needed a dad and he didn't want to do that. And that's okay. I gotta go. Like, then a couple of months later, he died. And yeah, I think he was just trying to get closure, but you're not about to get that through me.
You see that with some people, some men in particular. Where they abandon their duties and whatever life, and then towards the end they want to come back and make amends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about that, because in one space, I feel like, yo, man, I don't care if it's spilled milk. What's done is done.
Mm-hmm.
You made your bed, not lie in it. And it's not up to me to give you absolution, to give you a reprieve, to give you a sense of closure.
Make you feel good before you go. Because you know you're about to go see God. So you're about to go explain to him how you didn't do what he told you to do. Like,
exactly. So there's that. And mind you, I'm a man of very little faith. I have some spirituality, but not so much faith or religion. That's not in me. Mm-hmm. But there is sometimes a part that's like, I don't know, like, you know, have a Jesus moment and try to hear people out. And not just in this situation, in your scenario. I mean, like, I have like friends who I felt like wronged me. Doesn't mean they did, but I feel like mm-hmm. they wronged me. Mm-hmm. And it'd be a while and they try to come around. And sometimes I'm like, let me hear them out. And
what's your sign?
I'm glad you asked. I'm a Scorpio.
Jesus Christ, help us, Lord.
November 17th, 1985. I'm a Scorpio. What a something something moon and a something.
Yeah, what is
something.
Your moon? Do you know?
I forgot. My wife.
Damn even, it.
My wife knows all that stuff. She does charts. Damn. She does.
Can you
charts.
Ask her what's your rising and what's your moon? Can you text her?
I'm gonna text her right now. She'll tell me. She'll tell me.
She'll tell me. She knows it on the top of the dome.
What's my moon? Right now, live, we're doing it. Hey, what the hell?
What's my rising and what's my moon?
What the hell is my what is my rising? What is my rising and moon separately?
Yes, there's two of them. So it's your big three: your sun, your rising, your moon.
Let's see what she gets back to me, because right now usually she don't work on Saturday. She teaches mm-hmm. like she teaches English to adults.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because her Spanish is
excellent. Bueno.
Yeah. You know, because she's from Dagenham, where like her mom to this day don't know. Yeah. Her mom to this day don't know English. Like, been here since the 80s and still, like, no English.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, yeah, she's on that time. So, she's great at teaching English to adults. I'm
just telling
me, she's always told me and I forget, but yeah, I'm definitely a Scorpio.
What yeah, is- so you're forgiving. Yeah, because you're a water sign, so you guys have a lot of, like, you guys have a lot of feelings and, like, you feel them. So, like, Scorpios can be forgiving because, yeah, they want peace, too, even though it seems like, yeah, don't the way y'all rampage, but.
I you know, it's funny you say that. My dad is also a Scorpio, and he's 2 weeks born before me.
Obviously, oh, nice.
30 plus years prior, but still.
Are you a junior?
No. So, here's the thing. Actually, I'm not a junior, but my name is a legacy name. And what I mean by that is, so my government name is Michel Dequo. Mm-hmm. Michel Dequo. And the reason why I'm named Michel is mm-hmm. because my grandfather, if you Google my name, if you take my name and Google it, you won't find me. What you'll find is my grandfather, who was a renowned musician in Haiti.
Nice.
Like, he's a quote-unquote pioneer. He was a composer, an artist, musician, the whole nine yards. He has albums on iTunes and
that's Apple awesome. Music.
So to this day, you know, like, if I meet an OG from Haiti and they see my name, they're like, why is your name? Are you related to? And I'm like, yes. And I got to explain myself. Yes. I'm like, oh my God. So I have that legacy.
That's amazing,
man. I have that legacy. So my mom, the daughter-in-law of my grandfather, she loved him so much as a daughter-in-law that she made sure she named me after him. So he's very exalted out there. So when you Google his name, Google my name, you see him more than you see me. So I'm not a junior per se, but I'm named after someone. I'm named after
him. Yeah, still, that's awesome.
Yeah, so my dad's name is Charles. But yeah, we're both Scorpios. And then my youngest daughter, Charlie, she's a Scorpio now too. 11/11/22. So,
nice.
So I coming up, growing up, I was never that tapped into astrology or in the horoscopes and all that stuff. But I would see some commonalities with some other Scorpios. Like, I have to, I don't want to be biased here, but I never met a Scorpio I didn't like, you know? But what, I got to ask you, what sign are you? What are you?
You're Gemini. My birthday's in a few weeks.
So you're a June Gemini.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you heard.
What day are you?
June 5th.
June 5th. Okay, so yeah. my aunt, who one of my favorite aunts growing up, she's June 4th.
Oh, nice.
My older sister, who was like, I idolize her. She's May 21st, so she's next Wednesday.
Nice.
But she starts it. She's the cusp. She starts it.
Yeah.
And I grew up with a...
How lucky. You grew up with a Gemini sister.
I grew up with a Gemini sister, and we shared the room together all our lives.
Beautiful. Hey.
But they say some Geminis have duality in them. Like, you know, the Kanyes, the Tupacs.
On behalf of all Geminis, we apologize for Kanye West.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a bad rep with that man.
Okay. We also apologize for Donald Trump. We are sorry.
Gemini? Oh, sorry. Yes, I didn't realize that.
Yes, yeah. But we gave y'all Tupac. We give and take, you know what I mean? We got some heavy hitters in there. Yeah, Juice, Jolie. Juice,
Biggie. Biggie's the 21st also.
Biggie? No, yeah. Isn't Biggie in March?
No, he's May 21st. He died on March 9th. He died on March 9th.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
Right, but he's May 21st. He's the same day as my sister.
You see? I mean, we great.
Y'all have heavy hitters.
We do.
I think Gemini, out of all of the signs, you're definitely top three people I gravitate towards. Don't gloat. Y'all crazy as hell, so. Yes, that's so crazy.
Absolutely. But what it is that we're just two people. I'm not denying that. It's absolutely two people. And it's like the one we want to be and then the one that we have to be so that this one doesn't get hurt. Mm. So it's very much like you pick and choose who we got to be. Like, we're really cool. But if you try to hurt us, you try to... And then I'm forgiving. I'm very forgiving. I want peace. And I'm on Libra rising. Libras really want peace.
I'm going to ask you, what's your rising and moon?
My rising is Libra and my moon is Leo. So it's very much, I want peace. And my feelings are, don't you dare hurt my feelings. Like, that's like, I'm a Gemini. So it's like, I'm two people, but I want peace and harmony and don't hurt my feelings. Like, we're very, those are my three signs. But we want peace for the most part. So if you force us to have to be something else, that's on you. You did that. We there are some problematic Geminis. But on my behalf, I want harmony.
Me too. Do you believe in the idea that certain signs connect more or have the opportunity to connect more?
Yes and no. Yes, because I gravitate towards certain signs more as well. I really love Aquariuses. I really love Capricorn guys. Scorpio men, you cool, Mike. But Scorpio women are dope. Evan is a Pisces. So it's like, I do like water signs. It's just that the air in me, you guys want me to give a fuck more than I could sometimes. And that's kind of where the clashing comes. But for the most part, I like everybody. I want everybody to be happy.
To your point, I have heard complaints about Scorpio men. I've had her complaints about whether it's
passionate,
immaturity. I've heard.
I think it's immature because they feel deeply. So when their feelings are hurt, oh shit, like they're gonna rampage because you hurt their feelings. Like, they gave you a chance to not hurt their feelings and you did. And now you must feel the wrath of a Scorpio. Yeah,
I think me and my dad are unique because we're the type of Scorpios where we're very creative.
Nice.
And artists. We're very artist-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad, not just my grandfather, but my dad's also a musician. He's in his 70s now, touring and recording albums.
Nice. Oh, let's go.
Yeah, so he has that side of Scorpio-ish sign. But
you guys are creative.
Yeah, we're creative. But I have to admit, I have seen some men on my board right now. You know who he is. You know, some dudes are just toxic. I'm just like, God damn, like, you gave us a bad name.
All right, not everybody. Just like not all Gemini, so it's not all school.
Yeah, girls. Yeah, because my cousin Jonathan, he's May 25th, and he's a crazy motherfucker. I'm like, you wildin'. But so your dad, unfortunately, he was out
the
house, out the crib, and then he unfortunately had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying your siblings were more empathetic to his last days?
Yeah, they my older two siblings were more like, yeah, this is great, like, he's back. And I get it because they're guys, so I think that they cover up feelings more, and like, a woman, it's harder for a woman to like have feel a way towards you and kind of gloss over that and continue on with whatever it is we're supposed to continue. She can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not very well. And I wasn't gonna do it. I wasn't even gonna give him the opportunity to try to make amends with me. Not even amends. It's just like, what, you want to be my friend? I don't want to be your friend. I want you to say sorry and hand over a wad of cash. I know you don't have the cash. So kind of like, what are we doing? What are you gonna do?
My moon and rising are both Aquarius. No kidding.
I love Aquarius.
My, and as far as regular signs, my mom, my grandmother, and my other favorite aunts, who passed away like when I was 12 years old, they're all Aquariuses. So like, the women in my life who were Aquarius, born in February, they always were good to me. Even when they were whooping my ass, they were still good to me. Shout out to my mother. Because she Because she, my mother was that person. Still is. She's still alive. My parents are both still alive. My
Amen. Mother, my, God my, bless.
And especially for her because she had a brain tumor, so it could have went crazy.
But, oh my goodness. God is good.
Yeah, God is good. My mom used to love to check me in public.
Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, like she used to love to humble me in public, like keep me on my toes. You know what I mean? Like, because some mothers, and I'm sure in a Latin background and a Latin Haitian background, you may notice that some mothers coddle their sons. Some, and I'm being nice about it. When I say that, you know what I'm saying? My son on me a lot.
Majority. Right.
But. And this is why I think culture matters because, you know, I find that more. I think patriarchy runs rampant no matter where you're from. Mm-hmm. But I think it runs rampant, I've seen, with Latino culture. Like,
yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, I feel like it's the stone for a lot of things. Like, for a lot of social, like, normalities. Yeah. In the Caribbean world, in the Latin American Caribbean world, because they think that man is the head, so many things are weird, to say the least. Because I don't want to say wrong or bad, because I still live by some of those rules as well. Right. It's the cornerstone for a lot of social interactions.
Well, we all are, maybe not the word victim, but we all are byproducts of patriarchy.
Right.
And some of us are infected, like, psychologically on how we treat men, how we exalt them, how we don't push women to be their best selves. You know, like my uncle, who's Haitian, he married my aunt, who's Dominican, back in the 70s. So growing up in the 90s, you know, and they lived on Selwyn Avenue, but they just left to Florida, but they grew up in Selwyn, right by Bronx, Lebanon. So you know, when you go over there, you know, my aunt Nini Eugenia, shout out to her, you know, she made sure the beer was right there on the table with the coaster, and everything was ready for you. And you know, you couldn't do nothing. You couldn't breathe without her being right under you to help you breathe. You know, so you know,
bless her.
And it reminded me of, like, you know, those Japanese lifestyles where, like, the women are just, like, very subservient and whatever. Hey. And I'm used to my mother coming in the house and slapping my dad upside the head. You ain't shit. And kids, you know, like my mother was a my mother was a tyrant. Like,
I love that.
Like, I had to tell my mom where, like, she loved to curse you out. Love it. It was an artistry to curse you out. You know, like, if the Domino's pizza was late with the food, I'd be like, yo, gosh, just bring the pizza to me. Because she's going to curse you out. You know, like, she was strong-willed, not to say that there's a patriarchy on the other side of the island, on the Haitian side. Of course there is. But I've also recognized that it's just so much more ingrained in Latino culture. Where does that come from? The idea of men are ish, men are the shit.
I have no idea. I have no clue. I think that it just comes from women couldn't work, you know? So the person who brings home the bacon is the man. And you have to cater to him. I don't know. Because the woman's rights thing it wasn't really a thing in DR. I'm not too sure. I haven't looked that up. Yeah. But that was like a movement in America. In DR, I don't know if it was. I don't know if it was that big of a big deal. And I saw a meme that said the other day, like, deep down, women don't really want to work. And to tell the truth, I don't think anybody wants to work. I don't think anybody wants to do that. Who wouldn't want the life where somebody goes out, does the work, and comes back and brings the money? Who wouldn't want that? Everybody wants that. So it's just, you know, I think that, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead. I don't even know what I'm saying. Just it's just, it wasn't a movement in DR, so, like, the girls were fine with it. The girls are fine with being, from my understanding, maybe they aren't fine. Maybe they want change and want to change them.
Well, you brought up
because,
yeah. I just want to say something. I just want to chime in real quick. You said something that I like. You said how you saw a meme the other day that said a lot of women don't want to work. What I recognize is, well, first, just so we all be clear, housework is work. So for guys out there who downplay a woman or a spouse who's home all day working on taking care of the
kids, homemaker, that's serious.
That's labor. It's labor to make sure the kids are ready for soccer practice. It's labor to make sure
that they have their equipment. The paper done by this day, and
the EpiPens in the house, and everything's in order. It's work to coordinate a household. And then, if anything, you'd rather be outside for 8 hours a day mingling with other human people and taking your mind off the house versus being home all day
With the kids and yourself.
And yourself and your own thoughts and limited people to interact
with.
Yeah.
So, and it drives women, not all women, but it could drive women crazy to just not see another adult for months at a time. Only seeing your husband as your only other adult because you have to run in. If you do see another adult, it's at drop off or pick up or, oh, hey, good morning. You know, that, not that it's not a life that I wouldn't want, because I would. If you bring home bacon and I could just do that, sure. I'm not saying I'm not opposed to it. It's not what I want right now, but I'm not opposed to it. It's a great life, but I mean, at some point, something has to be more fulfilling. You might want more to fulfill you. And everybody does, though. Everyone gets bored. People chase a dream and fulfill it and then need another one. Like, so I get that. Some woman might have wanted that white picket fence life, and then they got it, and then they're like, all right, well, I'm going back to work.
Indulge me for a second. Do you look at things different when it's a man who's a homemaker?
No. I follow a guy on TikTok. His name is Joey Fu. He's one of my favorite TikTokers. It's amazing. It's great. It's beautiful. I didn't have a dad, so I love to see that. I love to see a guy taking care, changing a diaper, and wiping down furniture and taking... So what? Yeah, he's a parent. He's the same parent. Just because he did carry the kid long for longer, if we're being technical.
Right? From inception, real inception.
Yeah, he's been carrying it forever.
That's hilarious. He's stupid. You told me about your siblings and how they reacted to your father trying to come back. What was your mother's response?
Oh, Lord. She was in the kitchen cackling, just laughing her ass off. She thought it was the... Because I was reading my dad to Phil. Like, I was like, I don't want to... No, we're not going to be friends. No, you should have been here. Should have raised me. You don't even know this. And I did this. Did you know this? What's my favorite color? Da, 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 da. I was giving it to him. Like,
you gave it to him.
Yeah, you were... I was at the age where I understood that. I understood the feeling of, oh, I had the choice. He had a choice. He chose not to do it. When you're young, you don't understand why your dad's not around. When I got to the age where I understood, like, oh, this man said no thanks to the four people I created. Five, because my sister is also his kid. No, thank you. I'm going to do this instead, which was drink and smoke and live en la calle con la gente. Que si esto, que si otro. Está bien, vete tú para allá. Suéltame en banda. Leave me alone, though. Like,
entiendo.
Yeah, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Go ahead, do your thing.
Entiendo. I hear you. You're reminding me of my uncle through marriage. He's not my blood. But my aunt had a husband back in the 80s and early 90s. Not really 80s. In late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Brooklyn. And he had five kids with my aunt. I had five cousins through him. And after the fifth one, he ghosted. Like, I'm talking about ghosted. Ghosted like a magician, just ghosted. And then my aunt ended up having three more kids later on that down the line afterwards. So eight kids total. But the first five was his, and he just one day ghosted. Like, he just packed up and left. And still alive to this day. And, you know, their grandmother through him is still alive as well. So for a while, he would reach out to his mother, their grandmother, to keep tabs on her, on the mother.
The mom? Not the kids?
Not even on my aunt, on his own mother. Like, he would say, hey, mommy, how you doing? And she's like,
gotcha.
She's like, you know you have grandbabies in Brooklyn still, right?
You know you got five kids that call me grandma? Okay.
And just like, you couldn't find him. We didn't know if he was in Cali and Florida and whatever.
That's so crazy. Mike, as a dad, I have to ask you, can you look at your daughter's face and just be like, nah, I'm out of here. And never see her again?
Not only... Because I couldn't do that. I was telling somebody else this recently. I had a dream maybe a few years ago. I had a dream. And I never remember dreams. But I had a dream. I had a dream a few years ago where, you know, God approached me in my dream. He or she approached me. And they told me, God was like, yo, listen, you know, I know how much you enjoyed your life from middle school on. You had a great time. But I know there's some things you wanted to redo. I'm going to give you a choice to go back in time, start again from seventh grade, and redo your life, work with the knowledge you know now of how to maneuver differently. You know what I'm saying? To make better choices. But the catch will, you'll never have Lauren. But you'll know she existed. But you'll never have her, because the path you'll take now will be different. But that'll be the catch. Can you handle it? And I thought about it. I'm like, in my dream, I remember saying, can't do it. I cannot do
Oh
it.
my God.
I'd rather just ride this shit out the way it is now. You know,
So
broken
hard to
off.
have her, man.
Yeah. Like I know
That's beautiful, Mike.
I know what this love is. You know what I'm saying? And I could imagine being without it.
Oh my God. That's so
So
beautiful.
I look at dudes or people who abandon their kids as kind of dangerous. When I say dangerous, I mean like
Wow.
almost like sociopathic or psychotic. Because I'm like,
Wow.
because if you have the ability to just abandon like that and not have that empathy, I can't trust you in various ways. I wouldn't want to have a loaded gun around you. I wouldn't want to have a knife
Wow.
around you. I wouldn't, not, you know. So something about you is not just selfish on the surface, on the micro level, but on the macro level, I feel like you're also dangerous in ways that we can't comprehend. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? So I look at
Wow.
people like that who have mental health issues, who are weirdos as well as selfish. You know what I'm saying?
That's
Uh,
crazy,
and
Mike.
that,
That's so well put.
yeah, and then and that's not to absolve them, by the way. That's not to absolve them, because if I saw my uncle Carl, I'm calling you out by name, Carl. If I saw him in person, as old as he is today, probably I'd whoop him out. I'd take my belt off and whip him in the street. Because how dare you? Because of you leaving, and you came out differently, I could tell, Celia. But because he left, those first five cousins were really all eight now. They're all crazy. You know, they're all crazy, and they all, you know, needed that structure. They needed, maybe not every child needs their father. Maybe not. Maybe not. I
Every
think
child needs their
every,
father.
every and you're right, every child does. But what I would say is maybe some people come out all right without their father, without their parent, but they needed him. I get like they needed him. You know what I'm saying? So
It's just you grow up a little, I don't want to say resentful, but you have the little thing in you that's like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with me that everybody else's dad stood around and mine said no, thank you. That stays with you for a very long time. And it bleeds into relationships and into school and careers into and responsibility. Like some people, let me not even talk about nobody else, but like some people can't be responsible for the life of them because they never seen it. They never seen a man be responsible. They have no idea what that even looks like. So then expect them to do it. And my therapist was telling me, like, you know, your dad probably didn't have his dad and didn't. Yes, absolutely, 1%. I'm not saying that he should be, you know, that should be ignored or that shouldn't be an issue or brought up. But like, you became an adult. And at a certain point in your adulthood, you have to decide if you're gonna live in that trauma that, oh, my dad left me, woe is me, I can't do shit right, da da da. Or you're gonna step up and be like, all right, I might fuck up because my dad left, but I'm gonna still do it. I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna still do what I gotta do because if te va a quedar, dime. You know what I mean?
at the end of, and they say, oh, hurt people, hurt people. You don't have to hurt somebody
You
else.
don't have
You don't
to.
have to. You don't have to create this. You
Yeah.
don't have to continue the cycle. You don't have to.
No,
You don't have to.
no.
Some of this is accountability. It's a choice you made to keep
For
it going.
sure.
You know, my oldest daughter, because I have three, my oldest daughter is one that I adopted through my wife because, you know, I don't use the word stepdaughter.
No, that's not a thing.
No. So, but I came into her life in 2012, 2011, when she was 5 years old. Her father pretty much wasn't abandoned her. Now he's back in the picture, you know, but he don't really try. But he's around. He's present. Not even present. He is somewhat accessible, I was saying. Somewhat accessible.
Okay. All
But
right.
for a long time he wasn't. And he would straight play her and abandon her, promise her, I'm gonna come pick you up. And it would no show. And you had to watch her cry out in the middle of the street and wait for her father.
Oh my
And
God.
you know, as a father who came into her life, I tell people, what's it like? They would ask, what's it like being a father coming into somebody's life? And I would say, well, it's like Lois Lane, Superman, and Clark Kent. So Lois Lane is the woman that Clark Kent and Superman loves. He loves Lois. You know, Clark Kent works for her at the newspaper, Daily Bugle. They work together. They're colleagues. But he's a square. He has the glasses. You know, he has a comb over. He has a tie and suit. He's a square and a geek to Lois Lane. But Superman, when he comes around, Lois Lane's eyes pop up.
And she loves
She
him.
loves, adores him. But he only comes once in a blue moon. But
Yes.
day to day, it's Clark who's helping out Lois with the daily grind. Do this, do that,
Wow.
Lois helping out day to day. But she doesn't really see how much Clark's holding her down. It's when Superman comes is when she's like, oh my God.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And that's the dichotomy, what happens when you have fathers who abandon, but they try to show up once in a blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
They give that hope, especially to a daughter. Like, I'm here today and I'm here to, you know, sweep you off your
save
feet.
Save the day.
Save the day.
Yeah.
But really, it's empty promises usually.
Yeah.
Or it's not sustainable. So, you know, I was going to ask you, but you kind of answered it. I was going to ask you, how did his absence affect you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, in mad ways, in wild ways, I was mad, rebellious at some point in my life. Thankfully, I was in a church and I was able, it wasn't that great of a church. It was kind of weird. It got weird towards the end. But for the most part, like, I know God and I know Jesus' love and how encapsulating it can be. So yeah, you know, it bleeds into different parts of your life and you're looking for the wrong shit. Like, I was really into people who weren't into me. Like, that was it for a long time. Like, if you were really into me, I would kind of be like, eh. But if, like, I would talk to you and you would be like not really into it, forget about it. That's my man. Like, real fucked up shit until I had to, like, reanalyze, like, he doesn't like you. He's not nice. Like, don't get away from him. Like, you gotta focus on guys that, like, adore you. And then that's when I made the mistake of dating somebody who was chasing you for years, which I don't recommend. And even though that relationship ended sour, he was obsessed with me. And then I picked up, like, that's the only thing I want. That's the only type of loving I can understand. I can't, the nonchalant shit will get you nonchalant.
Nonchalant. That might be the title of this episode, Nonchalant. Let me write that down. Nonchalant. That's funny. I'm sorry. you should coin that. Nonchalant.
Nah, I definitely got it off a meme somewhere. I don't remember where, but I definitely read that somewhere.
You know, there's a lot of people, and not just women, but a lot of people who are chasing something that doesn't want them back. And it's like a sense of chasing for validation.
Yeah, 1,000%. You have to do it your whole life. So that's what you're doing in your relationship. That's what you think is right. It's a chase. It's a, let me convince you that I'm worth it. Let me, because that's what you have to do growing up. You have to convince yourself that you were worth it before your pops left. Like, it's just fucked up. Abandoning kids is not awesome. You make weird adults.
Yeah. And you scramble their brains. You scramble their brains, you know, and scramble their hearts.
You make their little brains like shift into a mindset of what can I do? How can I fix this? And it sucks. You should be worrying about what's your favorite color this week. And right. If your friend and you are going to wear same socks to school, right. Not if you're worthy of a parent's love.
And, you know, because my oldest daughter had to grow up with some growing pains because of her biological, you know, she had to recognize how with our next daughter who was born 10 years afterwards, how she immediately got a head start in getting certain emotional cues and positive attributes because she got it from the ground up as opposed to my oldest daughter. I had to learn along the way, and there's still some bumps and bruises along the pathway. So there'd be like, not jealousy, but there'd be some envy about how she was initially getting certain looks, you know, my daughter. I told her, I'm sorry that, you know, you were dealt the bad hand initially, but you also now can't hurt people. Yeah, you have me now, but you gotta turn your tragedy to triumph and recognize the blessings you have now. So it's just a work in progress, but yeah, man, I really hate when guys in particular, parents in general, especially men, who don't take care of their business with their kids. You can't talk to me as any of my guy friends out there, any of my acquaintances or homies, don't talk to me if you're not taking care of your business.
Hello. And I think that if more, like, because you're a black man that got his shit together, you may not feel like it. Because when I say that to my other friends, too, they be like, girl, I'm losing my mind. I'm drowning in my shit. But from the outsider looking in, you got your shit together. Your family's great. Your wife is great. Your home is great. You are progressing your career. And you're established. When men like that be like, yo, if you're not taking care of your kids, get away from me. I think it'll change a lot of shit in society. Because men love brotherly love. Like, men love to be cool with their men, with their boys. Like, they love that. And to get that taken away from them, like, oh, now my boys don't want to see me. Like, my boys don't want to hang out with me, or they clowning me and shit. Yeah. Like, yes, I think it'll give more accountability.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame is very influential.
Shame.
Yeah, if you shame,
shame.
If you shame behavior, you have a good shot of curbing that behavior. I agree. So there's definitely a bro code way of shaming somebody, but I also would say to women out there, ladies, you also have influence where I don't want y'all to co-sign whack dudes.
That's a fact, though.
Some of these dudes are walking around whack as hell. Like, I didn't know he's a whack dude, but why is she talking to him? Why is she talking to him? Oh, okay. I think you stopped recording. Are you back? Maybe your AirPod.
I'm back. Sorry. Evelyn called me.
Shout out to Ev.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
No, should I even come back?
No, it says you're recording again. You're good.
Okay.
But yeah, shame.
Ladies dating guys that don't take care of their kids is whack. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
You got kids. When was the last time you saw them? What's his favorite color? What size shoes your kid? Oh yeah, no. If you can't answer those questions, please keep it moving.
I agree. So, you don't know. I'm sure you don't know what your mom truly felt inside. But what do you think your mom felt as a woman when he came around on his last days?
She just, like, look at this fool. Like, she's Haitian. So she's Haitian and Dominican. So she's probably like, look at this fool. Like, he's an idiot. Like, and she was in the kitchen cackling. So I think that my mom is very, not me. She's very timid and very soft-spoken. And she wants peace and harmony more than me. And I do too, but I will let you have it if I feel like you're wilding. I feel like you're bugging out, I will definitely let you have it. And she's not like that. She'll probably just cut you off. But I gave it to my dad. And she loved it. I think she felt very vindictive when I did that for her. And I will always, I'm like problematic in my family for that reason, because do anything you want, but fuck with my mom. Anything, do anything, play with something safe. Nah, my fucking mom. I'll blow up the world if I'm scared for fucking FBI people come and get me. But I love my mom. Like, I don't play that shit when it comes to her. I'm gonna get my vengeance for her because she's not gonna get it. So I'll go get it for her.
I feel you. All right, I wanna. We're almost an hour in. So I wanna.
I know. I'm sorry. Talk too much.
No. It's been flowing. If you notice, it's been flowing. I want to switch gears and ask you a question.
Yes.
But with the caveat and the premise that I recognize as a guy that men as visual creatures, we take part in silly imagery with women. Like, you know, we poke holes at how women look, how women dress, what they got on, how their body is shaped. So no matter what culture you're from, men can be crass and weird when it comes to women. So I recognize that. But that being said, you are a chocolate tall woman that is black. You're a black woman. Like, for me, obviously I'm a Haitian American. I'm a Haitian guy. I'm proud. But don't get fucked up. I'm a black man first.
I'm a black man. I'm a black woman.
Yeah. I'm first and foremost, my dad, even though he's light skinned with freckles.
Yeah, your dad is real fair. Yeah.
Life with freckles. In fact, his nickname in the family, home and in the greater family, we call him Blah, which means white. Blah, you know. But he don't like that shit. He's like, nigga, I'm black. Yes. So, yo, he'll let you know I'm a black motherfucker.
Don't let this skin fool you, man. Right.
And you know, my older sister, you know, she's light skinned like my dad, and they call it Green Mel. Green Mel is like a light skinned girl and Creole. And she'll tell you too, motherfucker, I'm black. She's so proud, she doesn't like when she's mistaken for being like Colombian or Puerto Rican or Dominican. She's like, no, I'm Haitian and I'm a Christian Creole if you say something else. Because there is this thing about being black and not just black, being Haitian, that like you are fucking proud of where you come from or where your family comes from. Or just what your ancestors have gone through.
Right, yeah.
And the blackness. Now, marrying my wife and marrying to her family, and knowing some of my cousins are Dominican, I've seen other issues with pride, some other issues with, like, recognizing black beauty and hair. And by the way,
oh, Jesus Christ, by the way, yeah.
Every culture, including Haitian and Dominican, we all have issues with lightning creams and there's a European obsession everywhere.
Yeah, the beauty standard.
So I don't want to just paint it like only DR suffers through this. Every culture has this idiotic view of exalting European beauty standards. So that being said, it seems like DR has mastered that
It is so crazy. Like, I'm telling you, it's like the last time I went on vacation with my family, I was out. I love the sun. Like, I can, the way, I don't know, I can't explain it. The hue that I feel when I'm in the sun, I just, I don't know. It feels like I'm energized. I feel like fucking Goku. Like, I just love it. So,
I love a tan. I love to get baked. I love a tan.
I love bits. I love it. I love when in the summer, I don't look like my normal self.
Love it.
Just love it. I just love it. My family does not.
I wish I was darker.
I get dark as hell. I love it. Anyway, my family does not like it. They be like, get out of the sun. You're so black. Yeah, I'm going to get black. It's okay, you guys. I can't get cancer. Well, I mean, for, you know, people evil eye me or whatever, but like, I'm melanated. I'm literally made to sit in the sun. Like, I'm good, guys. I don't get burnt. I'm totally fine. They don't like for me to get darker. Growing up, it is considered nappy. But for the most part, I've always had a lot of hair.
Girl, at least you have hair.
It's all right. It's okay. You have hair right here, Mike. You all your hair is right here. So, yeah. Do you want to, like, take a pause? No, because you kept looking at your kid. Okay. Just ask it.
I'm good.
Yeah, but, you know, I grew up getting my hair permed because it couldn't be like this. It was frowned upon. You look like a broom. That's ugly. And then the women that were considered beautiful are the, yeah, broom, for sure. Completely called a broom all the time. Got called a broom. Yeah. The women that were considered beautiful were fairer, more fair than I am. And their hair was Taino straight, like Indian straight. Like
Indio.
Indian, like real, real straight, beautiful hair. And yes, that's gorgeous and amazing. But when you grow up and that's the beauty standard, it fucks with you. It makes you think that you're ugly for a really long time. I was like, I'm not attractive. I'm not what people want to think is attractive. Then I got older and I think when I turned like 22, society started shifting to the natural movement and the dark skin and it's beautiful. And I was so happy because I didn't always think, like, I wouldn't be like, I'm ugly, but like, I would be like, I'm fine to me, but society doesn't think that my big nose and big hair and big lips is attractive, but it is to me. I think that it's beautiful. My skin glistens and yeah, my mom made sure to tell me that I was like beautiful and stuff like that. The complejo came because I was dark and because my hair wasn't straight. Not because I wasn't beautiful. That wasn't the thing. But then, yeah, when the whole shift in society happened with the natural hair movement and Black Power, Black Girl Magic, I was ecstatic. I said, yes, this is what needs to happen. This absolutely needs to happen. You're going to shape the minds and mold the minds of little girls to be unstoppable, which I love. Like, your daughter will never feel like she doesn't have beautiful hair. So right. Never feel that way. Because right. She does have beautiful hair. And everyone else now sees, yeah, curls are beautiful. Yes, curls are beautiful. Have always been beautiful.
I've tried to encourage my daughters about their natural hair because when they go off to school, they're meeting other kids who have different hairstyles and hair textures, and they're comparing and contrasting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it initially messes with them. So I have to tell them, like, why they're beautiful just as much as their friend's beautiful. And so I've had to have some growing pains with my daughter about her hair and learn some things and learn how to talk to her about her hair and whatnot. But you said so many great things. Like, for instance, you mentioned how we've kind of the last few years have had a resurgence of pride and hair and tone and Black Girl Magic. With me, since I was born in the mid-80s, and I grew up in the 90s. Being born in the mid-80s, I would watch content that was old from the 70s, like on TNT, TBS, and just in general, pop culture from the 70s would trickle down to my generation. And in the 70s, they were all about, say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud, wear Afro, with a
nice.
And dashikis, and tap into your African ancestry, and name your son Malik, and Bakari. And so there was a whole generation above me that my older cousins were living in, where it was like, we are diverse. We come from a land not from here, not from the Western Hemisphere. We're from the motherland. And we should tap into that. When I was born into the 90s, it started to regress and become more about back to European standards.
Yeah.
And then, and now you're seeing that resurgence of what you experienced. And I'd be wondering, low-key, it's on petty shit, I wonder how the other folks be feeling about, and when I say other folks, I don't mean Blanquitos. I'm talking about people from our culture, but subscribe to the European standards. I wonder how they be feeling about this whole
exactly how they feel. They'll tell you, like, oh, I don't care. I don't think that that's attractive. Oh, you need to do your hair. The ones that are there are certain Dominicans who want to be ignorant. They want to be ignorant. They don't want to, like, I don't know. Like, the ignorance towards Haitians from Dominicans, it makes no sense to me. But with the beauty standards, they'll just tell you, like, oh, no, I still don't think that's attractive. I don't care what the societies are. And that's okay, because when history continues, you'll be known as the person that's on the wrong side, you know? So it's fine. I'm sure that it upsets them. And some of them may not be upset. But for the people who want to keep it so that Black people are beneath them, and not considered as beautiful, they're going to continue that. They're definitely going to continue that.
I'm seeing a trend, and it could just be me and my silo, but I'm seeing a trend, and I'm a married man, I'm out the game, but I'm seeing a trend among single folks, especially in the Dominican world, and the Bronx and Uptown world, where, mm-hmm. where a good chunk of women, not all women, but a good chunk of young Dominican women are choosing mates outside of their culture, partially because they tell me, the men within their culture haven't grown up a little bit. I mean, various ways, emotionally, maturity, various ways, but also just off of beauty standards and expectations, they haven't grown up. So they're finding themselves dating Caribbean men, African American men. With my wife, a Haitian man, because my wife always tells me I couldn't marry a guy from my culture. I couldn't do it. I can't marry a guy from DR. I can't marry a guy from Dykeman. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. He wouldn't understand me. He wouldn't appreciate me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the waist trainer. I don't have the faja. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do certain things. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Certain standards that Dominican men have for their women are very superficial. Right. That's really important to them, the superficial shit. Not so much the intellectual capacity or emotional intelligence of their partner. They don't care about that. They just want to make sure that your waist is little and you have a 27-inch waist and the biggest bunda you could imagine. Like, that's the standard for them. And they don't really give a fuck about anything else, you know? And it's sad. My man is Dominican, but he's Dominican-American. He lived in the DR for a few, but he was born in America, and he is American, like, which is Dominican-American, which I think is why we can work, because I'm Dominican-American. I'm Haitian-Dominican-American, so, like, you can lean on some of the standards from our culture, but I'm going to shift you back to America where, hey, not here. We're not subscribing to that. And if you can get that here. You want to go get with a girl with a BBL and I'm not knocking them. Get what you want, sis. Do your big one. Live your life how you want. But I don't know. Like, if that's your only thing, there are women who that's their only thing as well. And I just hope that those people find each other, because when they mix in with people who are looking for more, it causes havoc in many lives, not just the two people's lives, you know?
I agree.
My hair.
Shout out to Evelyn, though. She was some of the same dynamic. Her mate's also Dominican American, and same idea, same thing about the dynamic of being here and being from here could give you a different context on how to connect. Oh, shoot, I might have lost you, Celia. I might have lost you, Mama. If I lost you, it's okay. I wanted to ask her also about. Yeah, I definitely lost her. Well, I wanted to ask her also about her play, because she had made a play. She had directed a play. She had made a play about that I wanted to talk about. But I'm gonna give her a few minutes to come back. If not, it's all good. I'm here anyway. I like what she said. Nonchalance, nonchalette. Let me make sure I know how to spell nonchalance. Nonchalance. Yeah, nonchalance, nonchalette. That's fine. Anyway, I guess I lost Celia, so I'm gonna wrap up the episode now. I want to touch upon her time as a director of a stage play she recently did, but maybe on a future episode I'll get back to her, because you know I lost her technical difficulties. That's okay, life happens. Anyway, thank you all for joining the break room. I appreciate it, and you know, till next time, y'all. Later.